Welcome to the next tutorial on Surface Hub development. And in this tutorial, we're going to talk about adding ink support. And I guess when you're thinking about using a stylus, and of course, Surface Hub is a big touchscreen. You think about, you know, the ways that you use it, and it comes with, you know, styluses ready to use. As soon as I pick the stylus up, you would have noticed it went into whiteboard. That's the default function, so that I can start scribbling and making notes. Well, that's great, but how am I going to build that ink and stylus functionality on my laptop or on my personal device? Well, the stylus that's on the Surface Hub is an active stylus. Now, the stylus that you get with a Surface Pro or a Surface Book or now Surface Studio is also an active stylus, but they're not quite the same. But they're close enough that you can start developing your Surface Hub application using any device that supports active stylus input. And of course, there are other devices as well that support active stylus. Be aware, though, that that's very different from the capacitive stylus that you'll see selling pretty cheap usually. And they're the styluses that just work on any touchscreen, and they have kind of a rubberized nib to them typically. Those won't work. Those are very different. They're really just pretending to be a finger. You need an active stylus technology in order to get the full ink support and get the kind of behavior that you see here, where you can detect the difference between a finger and a pen going down. And in the Hub specifically, you can tell the difference between one pen and another pen. And that's important. So in this application that we're going to build out today, we're going to take the Contoso Jobs application, the Kanban board that we looked at in the last couple of tutorials, and we're going to add an ink canvas and ink strokes to it so that we can start writing directly the description of those jobs. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's have a look at how we can do that. So the first thing we're going to do is actually a very simple way of adding ink to a UI in UWP applications. I'm going to take that description text block, that's the block where we normally enter the description, and I'm going to put it inside a grid. And the reason I'm going to do that is I want to put some other things near it and around it. So we've got that text block and we've got a grid. Now what I want to do inside that text block or next to that text block is add an ink canvas. Now an ink canvas object is an object that's ready there for us to start inking directly into. Let's call it the annotation, and we'll set its height to a fixed height of 150, which means we should probably set the height of the text block as well to 150, so they match up, and so it really overlays on top of the text block. Now, so that you can carry on typing in the text block, so you can select it for typing, I'm going to make it isHitTestVisible equals false. Now, this may seem a little strange, because why would you do that? Of course, you want to be able to touch the ink canvas, but really, you only want to touch it with a pen. You don't want to touch it with your fingers. So this differentiates. isHitTestVisible is only looking for finger touches. It's not looking for stylus touches. And it means the stylus can carry on running when you want to interact with the pen on that block. So we've very quickly created this. And you'll see I'm doing it in the job control itself. But we should probably do something similar within the place where we create a job control, because that's where we actually initially build a job and edit it, and, well, not edit it, but create it and start working with it. So let's do the same thing here. We're just going to put that description into a grid again, and we're going to add an ink canvas. We'll call it the same. We could have just copied and pasted that code, I guess. Annotation. We'll set its height to 150. and we'll set is hit test visible to false. And we'll do the same, we'll set that height here of the text box. So now we should be able to, as we create a new job, oh, we already had a height, let's fix that. We can just set the height here to 150. So moving it from 100 to 150 means that we have a bit more space to scribble in when we're working with jobs. So let's try and run this. I actually want to run it over onto the hub. So let's go to remote machine, and I might need to configure this. So let me just go. Remember, in order to configure to run on a remote machine, we need to set the IP address in the debug settings here. That's not correct. To 120.191 in this scenario. That's the IP address of this hub behind me. And so now if we build this new version, we should be able to deploy it. You can see it's connected to the device. It's packaged up the UWP app. It's sending it over there. And hopefully it'll start running it. Here we go. So we're now running the UWP app. I'll just make it full screen again. And remember, it doesn't store anything between sessions. So we've lost all the jobs we had before, but that's okay. We'll create a new job. And we now have the ability to add a title and a description with some details. But we should be able to draw in here as well. So we've now very quickly enabled this ability to add inking. And you'll notice that by default, it also takes account of the eraser. So if I draw something in here and then turn the pen around, turn the stylus around, I can erase that ink as well. So I've created a very quick way of creating a job with ink. Ah, but I'm not displaying it. We have a slight challenge here with the way it's being displayed. So let's fix that. So let's go back to the code now, and we're going to stop running that version, and we're going to go and start fixing this. Because what we haven't done, although we've captured the job, is we haven't actually stored that ink anywhere, and we need to store it. And the place we're going to store it is in the job object. The ink is relating to this job object. Now, right now, the job object is being serialized into an XML file. Now, this will be a little bit of a problem because we don't want to serialize the ink strokes as they are, because essentially the system doesn't know how. So we're going to need to manage that somehow. So I'm going to ignore from serialization just for the moment, and we'll come back and fix this. Collection of ink strokes that we're going to build up within the job. So we're going to create a read-only collection of ink stroke, which is from Windows Inking. And we'll call it strokes, and we'll make it a property that we can get and set. So now we've got this collection of strokes, we want to do something with it. So we need to somehow set it and utilize it within the project. So let's go back to the create, where we create the job. Oh, not that. Go back to where we create the job. And in this code, we should find a method that gets called when the create button is clicked. Here we go. Here's the method where the create button is clicked. And what we want to do here is get that collection of strokes and add it to the job. So here we're creating a job, but we're not doing anything with the strokes. So let's create a iRead-only collection of ink stroke. We need to add the namespace again. We'll call it strokes. And we'll grab that from the annotation object, which contains an ink presenter. So an ink canvas contains an ink presenter, and an ink presenter contains a stroke container. And from there, we can get all the ink strokes and copy them into our collection of strokes. And really what we want to do is pass that to creating a new job, which of course we haven't written that method yet, but let's do this. Let's make it a list. So we're now passing that collection of strokes, ink strokes, across to the job. Now, in order to make this actually work, we're going to need to go and edit the create job method. So in the create job method, let's add that it's taking a list of ink stroke. We'll need to add the namespace again. So now we've got that collection of strokes, we can add that to the job. And remember here, it's really just a case of setting the property of strokes to equal the ink strokes list that's passed in. So now we've done that, we should be able to capture those ink strokes as we're creating a job and save them, or not save them, but keep them in memory in the job object, in this job object that we pass around between controls in order to render that job. Now remember, in the job control itself, one of the first things we did was we added that ink canvas in there so that we could ink inside it, but we can use that as well to render the ink as it comes back to us from the job, or as we get a new job to render, we can render the ink here. So let's have a look at in the job control method, we should have a data context changed. Here it is. So we have this data context changed method that determines really what the progress button should look like and how to move it around. But we can, in here, we're just going to add the code to add that collection of ink strokes to the ink annotation, which contains, remember, an ink presenter, which is a container of a stroke container. And the first thing we'll do as we render a new job is we'll clear any ink strokes that are already in there. And then we'll validate that the strokes in the job are not null, because we don't want to start manipulating a null object, that would be a mistake. And then for each of the ink stroke objects, again we'll need the namespace, for each of the ink stroke objects, each stroke in the job strokes collection, we will add it to the annotation. And the way we'll do that is annotation.inkpresenter.strokeContainer, add stroke, and we'll take that stroke, but we will clone it. And the reason we're cloning it is that we want to get a copy of it. We don't want the actual object, because the actual object will get disposed at some point, potentially, and we will be left hanging on to a null reference or something that we can't actually do work with. So now we're getting that set of ink strokes out of the presenter, or out of the job, and pushing it into the ink presenter to render it. So if we run this again and push it up to the hub, hopefully, we should be able to do that. Here we go. If we run it again, it's just starting up, hopefully, and crashing. Don't want that. All right, so we've added the ink strokes. So we've taken the ink stroke collection from the job and added it to the annotation. So if we've run this on the Surface Hub now, we should be able to get that collection of strokes from the job and actually render it. So let's go full screen. Let's create a new job. Let's add some ink to that job. So create a nice new job. And there's the job created with the ink that we attached, now attached to that job. Now there's a few little issues still to solve. You see as I pick it up, it kind of doesn't render properly. There's something we need to fix there. But majoritively, we have the ink collection being maintained during the session as it's running. Now remember, the job itself is being serialized just using a standard XML serializer. But that's a problem because the ink strokes won't serialize. So we need to override that to handle serializing the ink strokes. We're going to do that by making the job object serializable and implementing our own mechanism of serializing the different pieces of the object. So we actually don't care much about schema right now. We're being a little bit naughty, but that's okay. For the sake of this exercise, we really care about reading and writing the XML for the object so that we can store and load the ink strokes between sessions. So let's start with reading. We will take that reader that's passed in as part of the standard templated method for read XML, which is part of the iXML serializable interface. And we will read out the title, the description, and the status pretty much as we'd expect. We will read them out just as strings. Read element. Content as string, read element content as string, and it's a title, and we don't care about namespace at this point in time. And we'll do the same thing for the description. So we've got the title and the description. Now the status is a little bit different because remember the status is an enumerated type. So we will read that element as string again, but then we need to do something with it to turn it into an enumerated type. And the way we do that is we say the status equals, and remember it's a job status, it's either done, work in progress, to do, or backlog I think we call it, or moving, and we will parse the string into that enumerated type. So now we should grab the job status too. Now the hard work starts, and this is where we're going to serialize the collection of ink strokes into a memory stream to start with, and then into the XML file. So let's create an in-memory random access stream, which I'm sure requires a new namespace. Yep, the stream's namespace. So we create that random access stream. And then we'll create a data writer to write into it. So a data writer that will get the output of that memory writer stream so that we can write the collection of strokes into it. And we're just going to write it as a byte array. So let's create a new temporary byte array. We'll probably need to do this in blocks. So we'll start off by counting how many bytes we've actually read at a time. That needs to be a new byte array. That's okay. And then we will run a little loop to run while we've still reading bytes. So while bytes read is greater than zero, actually, maybe we should do it while we're getting a full block, because if we get less than a block, that means we've definitely got to the end of the stream that we're reading. So what we're going to do is we're going to read, we're going to count up the number of bytes we've read, and we're going to read in the element content as binary into that temp byte array, and we'll read it in blocks of 1024, which is the size of the temp byte array, so that makes sense. Now, if the bytes that are read is greater than zero, then we will write them into that memory stream. So we'll write those bytes into that memory stream. So we keep doing that until we run out of bytes to read. And then we'll take that writer and make sure that we store the contents so that it's actually pushed into the right place. And it probably needs another memory space. Oh no, because we haven't made this an async method. So let's make this an async method so that we can wait for that to finish, because we don't want to skip over that to the next piece until it's actually done. And then if the size of the memory stream is greater than zero, so we've actually read something into the memory stream, we will create an ink stroke container. So an ink container. And then we will push the contents of that memory stream into that container, or we'll cause it to load it up. So it's now loading up the strokes that we've, the ink strokes that we've read in as a byte array, and we can now set the strokes in this object to the strokes in the ink container. And then the final thing we need to do while we're reading is just skip to the end. We're done now. We've read everything we can read and know what to do with in this XML file, and we're finished. So this is reading in everything. Well, I guess what we need to really do here is now write stuff out, because if we don't write stuff out, then there's nothing to read in. So similar to how we read in the title, description, and status, we can write out as strings the title, description, and status. So as we're expecting to read in the title, description, and status as a string, we should write out the title, description, and status as a string. So let's do that. So we'll write out the title, and we can, this is pretty much going to be the same for the next couple of methods, so description. And status. Of course, status is an enumerated type again, remember, so we're just going to convert that to a string. And then we're going to start a strokes element. So we'll write a start element called strokes. Now, when we've finished, and there's some code to put in between these two statements, we will write the end element. So now, between these two steps, we actually need to write out the collection of strokes as a binary list. So the first thing we want to know is, do we actually have some ink strokes? And if we do have an object there, does it actually have anything in it? So if it does, then we've got something to actually write out. So we'll create, same as before, an in-memory random access stream. And we'll use that to write out the ink strokes. So the ink stroke container, ink container equals new ink stroke container. And we'll fill that up with each of the strokes in the strokes collection for this job. Whoops. Each ink stroke, stroke in strokes. We will add to the ink container. And again, we're going to clone it just to be sure that we're getting a copy of it and not the actual object. Ah, yes, again, we're not async, so let's make this async so that we can await things. That would be useful. So now the ink container, we're going to wait for the ink container to save its ink strokes into that memory stream, which is pretty straightforward. And we'll actually just be 100% sure that it's in there by calling flush as well, so it flushes it. And there's nothing hanging around that we, you know, that really shouldn't matter in a in-memory container, but it's probably good practice. Now we need to get that collection and write it out to the XML file. So the first thing we'll do is get that collection and create a byte array that's the same size as that memory stream. And then I'm actually going to create a data reader at this point. To read the bytes out of the memory stream. And then once I've got the bytes out of the memory stream, I can ask it to load up the everything up to the size of that memory stream into the data reader. So now the data reader is holding everything, or it will in a minute, once I've read all of the bytes from that memory stream into the byte array. So now I'm reading all those bytes into the byte array. And finally, I want to write them out. And I want to write out every single one of them. So now I'm writing out that stream of bytes into the XML file in the XML writer. Whew, okay, so there's a bunch of code that you need in order to read and write those, and we can get rid of that XML ignore now, to read and write the ink strokes out of the job so that we can save them. Now, in order to use this, we can run it up. Now, actually, I'm going to just reset the hub so there's nothing stored on it, because if we tried to read in the old job file format, it would fail because we didn't have strokes and we didn't actually have this schema before either. So that would be a problem. So what we're going to do now is I just reset the hub so that we can start with a clean slate, as it were. And then if I deploy the application to debug it, hopefully we can get this up and running. And there it is. And as expected, no jobs were stored. But if I create a job, with some stuff in it. And of course, I want to put some ink in there as well. Something that we can remember. And I create that. So I now have this job. Okay, it needs a little bit of formatting, that's for sure. And it's copying the ink across. And then I want to, in the same session, so let's close this, but not leave the session so that it's still in the same session, and then run it again. It should hopefully load up that collection of jobs, which only had one job in it, with some ink strokes. And here we go, it's loading it, and you can see it's maintained the status of the job and it's maintained the ink as well. So we now have the ink being stored into the XML file. Now, of course, it is being stored into an XML file that's local, which in most Windows 10 machines is fine because it's your personal machine. But this isn't a personal machine. The hub is a shared machine. And so between sessions, it loses that XML file. But we'll deal with that another time. We're going to carry on working with some more stuff with inking now. So let's get back to the code and have a look and see what else we can do with ink. If you remember, we added the ink collection to creating a job, but there's also an ink canvas in the job itself that we're rendering into, but we're not actually doing anything to capture those ink, any ink strokes that are rendered into that ink canvas as it's being used post-creation. And so if we go to the job control object, we could start doing something there. And so one thing we want to do is, if we look at the constructor for the job control, you'll see here that we can add a new event handler for when new ink strokes are added to the stroke, the ink presenter. And so in that event handler, we can start handling new ink strokes being drawn or even erased. So when strokes are added, removed from the job in as it's live, and we could do something with that. So the first thing we're going to need to do is get the job as a data context. So, because it's the job itself that maintains the collection of strokes. And if that's not null, so if the job is not null, then let's get that read-only collection of ink stroke objects and from the job or from the annotation rather. Stroke container, get strokes. So now we've got all the strokes from the container that is being drawn on, and we'll set that to the job. So job.strokes equals that collection of strokes that are being rendered on the screen, and we'll put that into the collection. So now when we run this, if we run this again on the hub, hopefully this will run up on the hub now. Here we are back on the hub again. We can not only work on the jobs that we've created, but we can start inking directly into these jobs. And as we move them around, that ink is maintained and stored in that job object. So we can create a new job with some ink in it, and then we can also draw into a live job and move that around, and that live job is directly manipulatable. I need to bring it all the way over here. It's directly manipulatable with ink as well. Okay, let's get back to the code. So what else have we noticed in this application? So one of the things you would have seen is that the ink that's collected is always black. Well, this is a little boring, so let's add some color to this. So let's go to the job controls XAML file. And in here, we've got that ink canvas that we added. And let's add an ellipse that we can use to tap on to change the color. And this is pretty simplistic color picker right now. We're going to put it at the top in the right. Of that grid where the ink canvas is. We'll fill it, fill red so we can pick red as a pen color. And we'll just move it in a little bit so it's not right on the edge of the screen. And then we want to get the pointer pressed event. Create a new event handler event for the ellipse so that we can change the ink color. So let's go to the code here. Here's our code for the pointer being pressed, the ellipse being tapped. And we're going to get the ink drawing attributes from the existing attributes from the annotation. So that annotation ink canvas, remember it has an ink presenter, and an ink presenter enables us to get the default drawing attributes. And then we're going to change those default drawing attributes because we're going to set the pen color to, well, for now, let's just make it red. But at some point, we're going to want to come back here and maybe change it. And then we'll set the ink presenter. We'll update the drawing attributes, update the default drawing attributes to the new ones that we've just created. And then we say, yes, we handled that. So no one else needs to worry about doing anything in that space. So now, when we run the application, and hopefully we can run it and debug it again on the hub, we should be able to change the pen color that we're drawing with. So again, we didn't store anything between sessions as expected, but if we create a job and give it a title and draw on it, again, we've only got black here, but now on the job itself, we have the ability to select red, but I can't select anything else. So I can go from black to red, but I can't go back again. So let's fix that. Let's add a couple more ellipses so that we can cope with adding different colors. So let's just go back here and into that XAML file again. We can just add a couple more of these ellipses to represent different colors. So we might want blue, and we'll offset that one. Well, they're 20 wide and they're 5. Okay, so let's do that and that. And black, I'm sure if we want, actually that one maybe should be 35. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's see what it looks like. So we can run it locally as well, remember. So remember I said if you want to test stuff, this is going to run remotely because I didn't change it. But if you want to test stuff and you've got a Surface Pro or a Surface Book, you can run things locally as well. Because the expectation is not that you will have, they need to be spaced out a little bit, but we're close. That you will not have your own private Surface Hub for developing on. So then what we want to do, so we're all going to get pointer pressed on all of these events. Let's go to the job control, and what we want to do is know that we're getting the pointer pressed on an ellipse, which is a shape. We're expecting it to be an ellipse that's sending it. So we could do, if we want to be secure, which we should be, if we want to be safe, if ellipse not equal to null, we at this point want to get out the pen color or the fill color. So we'll go ellipse dot fill as solid color brush, and we'll say it's a little bit of a cheat here, but that's okay for now. So the brush equals that, and then we'll set the color to be the brush color. So now we're changing the pen color based on the ellipse color that we've tapped on. So let's run this up one more time onto the hub. And here we go. And we've now got the job that we can create. Let's just create it straight away. We've got the ellipses here. And you can see if I tap on blue, I get blue. If I tap on black, I get black. If I tap on red, I get red. So I can start drawing some nice little pictures here in the job and moving them around. And of course it's maintaining, as part of keeping the ink strokes, it's maintaining the color, which is just an attribute of an ink stroke. So what have we seen here? In this tutorial, we've seen that adding an ink canvas gives us a very fast and quick way to get ink working, but there's more intricacies that are required in order to make this a fully functional inkable application. And we had to handle ink strokes and saving those ink strokes, loading those ink strokes, and manipulating them in ways that are not necessarily done for us. But we managed to get ink up and running, and we now can support stylus input on Surface Hub. And of course, one of the primary uses or input mechanisms for Surface Hub is stylus. So you've got finger, touch, stylus, And in the first two tutorials, we've seen how to add direct manipulation with your fingers so we can drag objects around, and we've added ink input to the objects that we're moving around. So it's a great start. There's a number of references that are probably worth you having a quick look at and getting your head into. There's a great set of articles on pen interactions and Windows ink in UWP apps. Definitely, if this is your first time in using digital ink, I recommend having a look at those. And then there's the reference material itself, there's the ink canvas control, and there's inking classes. And if you're using the anniversary update version, there's also an ink toolbar which does a lot of the heavy lifting for you in terms of selecting tools for inking with, which can be very useful. It's not in, prior to anniversary update, it didn't exist. It's in the anniversary update version. So as I said, we've added two really important aspects of being a great Surface Hub application. We've added drag and drop, direct manipulation, and we've added inking in the last two tutorials. In the next tutorial, we're going to look at how to remove modality, so how to change modal dialogues and change the control mechanism so that the hub becomes a richer multi-user environment rather than a single-user application, which is most UWP apps are built as single-user on personal devices on their private machines. Of course, the hub is not a personal device, it's a shared device, and so we need to think about how do we enable people at the screen to all work at the same time without blocking interaction. So that'll be the next tutorial. I hope you enjoyed this one. Thank you.